Welcome to the Base Motel After Buzz After Show, Episode 5, the one we've been waiting for. Marianne, let's go.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, Roy Orbison. Brings us down to a screeching Orbison, screeching halt.
It was what they used when they during the end scene.
Yeah, they did use this.
Although it did bring the energy down just a bit, I will admit.
Man, it also brought Loomis down too.
A little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome to the AfterBuzz After Show, Bates Motel, Episode 505. Marion. This is the one that we've all been waiting for almost the entire season.
Dun, dun,
the shower scene. Marion Crane, the whole nine yards, it's all going down.
And I'm so excited.
And Carlton and Carrie flipped the proverbial script on us. And it was fantastic. I'm Joe Braswell. I'm joined as always by the lovely Dua Casey. Hi, Dua.
Hi, everybody. Welcome.
Hello. Good to see you. Missed you last week in person. Yeah. I'm glad you're here now.
I'm here now.
We're doing like a series of two-man pods or two-handed pods.
Well, we're not alone. We still have on the technology.
We have on the technology. This time, we have the lovely Julia Carely on the line. Hello, Julia.
I am here. Hi, everybody. Good morning. I miss you guys in person.
I know. I miss you in person, too. And believe it or not, we also have the lovely Joe San frickin' Flippo online.
Nice to frickin' be here with you frickin' people.
Yeah. We're all four together virtually in a virtual space.
It's important because I think that this is such a pivotal episode.
Yes. You know, you guys are always all together in my heart. But now we're all together.
Zappy Zach.
On the pod. I love you. Wow, so here we go. Excuse me. Baseball episode 5. This was a fantastic episode. This is an extremely, extremely well-done episode. I got to say, it's very difficult when you know the entire show is running. I mean, the entire series from this, you know, episode 1 is running up to what appears to be this moment. And to get here and to not fumble, not drop the ball, but actually probably, at least in my opinion, exceed expectations and subvert audience expectations and come up with something even a little more clever than we all could have thought of. I thought was fantastic. I loved it.
It was amazing. It was amazing. And I know that last week, you guys were really, really hard on Rayana. And I'm not saying it was completely undeserved, but I know that Rayana got a lot of heat last week for kind of some of her choices. And what I love that they did here is if you're going to do such an iconic scene and just have, and the fact that they just completely stopped it abruptly, I think that that was absolutely amazing. Julia, Joe, what did you guys think?
I'll go. I loved it. And, you know, I was a little hard on Rayana last week. I will admit it. She did redeem herself a bit to me this week. But as for this episode as a whole, it was so satisfying. This was the creepiest, most heart-pounding episode to date. And everything came to a head, and it still managed to surprise us. I was so impressed with the work they did. Oh, I loved it so much.
Flippo?
I literally just finished it like 20 minutes ago.
Oh.
So I'm like super, super excited.
They do a great job. I said it last week. You know, even with the stunt casting of Rayana, it's very hard for this group to step wrong. You've just got too many brilliant people working together. I personally feel like, and I think last week I was kind of like, well, I mean, the idea of Rihanna's, hey, whatever, I don't care. But I think this week, I think there were definitely moments where and you almost can't help it because you look at it and this is one of the greatest, the biggest superstars in the world. And how do you direct one of the biggest superstars in the world? You know, if this isn't her thing, this is like a, you know, this, how do you even approach that? If you're Carlton Cuse and you're Carrie Aaron, how do you sit down and say, here's, you know, here are the choices that we think might be, I don't even know how you begin to do that. So, you know, I feel like there were lost opportunities in this episode. There were a few places where, you know, there was room for more interesting choices.
What
but
are you
on the
talking
other hand,
about?
Wait a minute. What specifically?
What
give me specifics.
What are you talking about, Joseph?
You can't just throw away a line like that and expect us not to.
I'm going to flip this table
like,
on your face.
I feel like all three scenes in the hotel room between Rayana and Norman could have been more interesting. I feel like the choices that were made were not bad, but I feel like there was room for more interesting things, which. Again, if this was a different show that's maybe a procedural that we cover for, I don't know, a Peacock network, then we wouldn't expect them. But for this show, it because it's been so great for five seasons and there's been so many interesting choices made along the way, I feel like there, I wouldn't say you felt the lack, but I definitely, you definitely, I don't know, I saw it and I thought, okay, there were things that could have been much more, there were much more dynamic choices that were floating around. On the other hand, it was a completely satisfying episode. Freddie was frippin' brilliant. I mean, just brilliant. And, and Vera, I just love the moments.
Uh-oh, here we go.
The facade.
Yeah. Right. We'll get into that, John. I'll let you have it. I just can't believe that you're watching this episode. I keep calling it episode 5, folks. Episode 6, I apologize. But I can't believe you're actually watching this episode and then watching the scenes and going like, meh, all right, maybe.
That's not what I'm saying.
And you know what?
Could be better.
I could actually agree a little bit. Every Rihanna scene does take me out just a little half step.
Okay.
So, you know what's interesting is that when you talk about and I will, I'm not going to disagree with you guys, but I will say that I can see from, maybe Carrie and Carlton's perspective that when you take a scene that is so iconic and there was so much anticipation, five seasons of anticipation coming up behind this, and then you're put up against somebody with the acting skills of Freddie Highmore, like you're going to be disappointed a little bit. I loved the scene choice when he was making her a ham sandwich and they're back in the parlor. A scene which is in Psycho, but they twist it around so much that it actually is an unrecognizable scene. But I love the choice where they actually had her with her back towards him, and she wouldn't really face him, and she had her back towards him looking at everything, and she could really kind of see the fear on her face when it comes to the fact that he's a taxidermist and he's stuffed animals. And that's something that Marion Crane's character in Psycho couldn't do because they were facing each other the whole time. So she couldn't let that go. I thought that was an interesting choice, different.
I want to approach this in four different ways. I mean, I want to talk about this is sort of, I want to talk about the mother and the Norman of it all, sort of that his realization that mother is a necessity and real for him throughout his whole struggle and fight to say she's not real. I want to talk about the Norman and Rihanna stuff. I want to talk about the Marion and Loomis stuff.
Oh,
right,
Loomis.
Which will include the shower scene. Uh-huh. I also want to talk about the comparisons, sort of the Psycho comparisons, and what they did to sort of honor honor Psycho and also sort of flip it a little bit.
Similarities
as well.
And differences.
But before that, I do want to take care of a little business. We are live. We're streaming live right now.
Oh,
which is fantastic. We've got a bunch of people online.
Let's do it live.
Some of our own old favorites. I'm going to say hello to Maria. I guess it's Maria. Maria Dipland, John Doe, Angela Hogan. I'm going to butcher everyone's name.
Do you need your reading glasses?
Ashley, I need my reading glasses because I'm cold. I'm Shank, and the rest of these folks, CC Freak, Chloe Gilmore, and everyone else. Hello, Angela. Hello. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you joining us live and at 10 a.m. this morning, which is great.
It's I know that's early for you, Joe, but
it is early for me actually.
10 a.m.
And also for all the folks who've been listening to us on YouTube, we really appreciate that. And please feel free, as you've been doing, but feel free to rate us on YouTube. It helps people find us. We've only got 4 episodes left, but it helps people find us and in this last sort of sprint to the end of the show. If you actually rate us on YouTube, between 1 and 5 stars. Hopefully it's closer to 5. We like fives. We do like fives. And last but not least, all the people who joined us last week and commented on YouTube, the community there, Sarah Camarillo, Robert Rogers, let's see, DR Lee, Dave Noodles, a bunch of folks, Selena Wilson, What About, Nick, Zia Paul, all you folks, including Wolf Guy. I'm not a Wolf Guy.
Don't forget Wolf Guy.
Wolf Guy says the black guy is really annoying. I think he's talking about me. Because I talk about sex too much.
Oh, was he talking about Dr. Edwards?
No, he's talking about me.
Oh.
The black guy, this guy.
I don't find you annoying.
The black guy.
It's all right.
It's all right.
They don't have to listen. You know what? I've always find that sometimes that's all right. All comments are appreciated, some more than others.
Hey, Wolf Guy. I love you anyway. Wolf Guy.
You were the one that was called a heavy breather like a few seasons ago.
I'm a heavy breather. They weren't for me. All right. So let's get into this. So this was fantastic in every single way. I am not as hard on Rihanna as everyone else was. I obviously like her. I think she's great. Her acting chops were not spectacular. It was sort of stunt casting, but I think that you know, it's we're talking about recasting this iconic character played by Janet Leigh. I guess there's a lot of people you could have gone with and A-listers and whatnot, but I like the idea of you putting someone sort of iconic of the time in that role, and it's fine. And look, Rihanna frankly didn't have much to do. I know Janet Leigh got nominated for an Academy Award. Looking back, I'm not saying that performance was the best performance in the world, looking back. But, so, I don't know. It's not like there's all this talk about Rihanna going against the Academy Award-nominated performance of Janet Leigh. I don't know. And does that hold up, Julia? Does that performance hold up?
You know what it does, though? You know, the more I think about it, like, what this show has done is create this really rich, interesting, otherworldly universe that is just unlike anywhere we've ever seen. So to have Rihanna come in as a complete outsider, and she's such an alien in this world, she really sticks out. I'll give it to her in that way.
Yeah, that's true. I'll take it.
She doesn't fit in White Pine Bay and this Norman Bates little world that we've all created together.
So
she does not fit.
She doesn't fit.
And I think that is a good choice in that respect.
Go ahead, Vlad.
Well, you know what's interesting? You know, I hadn't thought really about it until you said it. You know, you were talking about Janet Leigh and Academy Award nomination and iconic character. And you know, when you put all that together, you know, a brilliant way to avoid all those comparisons is to go a completely different direction. And I mean, completely different direction. And so you cast one of the greatest musical superstars in the world, and there's really no comparison invited at that point. So you know what I'm saying? As people talking about the show, I don't know about you guys, but I'm not really looking to compare her with Janet Leigh. It's a completely different, it's a departure.
Do you think that was the intention?
I think so.
Like,
I think
let's not even put an actress in this, because that way there's not going to be, forget it.
Then we're not inviting comparison. Then we're doing something completely different. We're just taking a step completely to the left or the right, depending on your point of view, and we're going to do something totally different. And we're not inviting you to compare her to Janet Leigh, because why? She's a musical icon. Yeah. Well, it's a totally different universe.
Well, let's get into the episode itself. So, you know, last we saw Marion, she had stolen $400,000. She'd made her way to the Bates Motel to wait in the very familiar settings of the Bates Motel to wait for her lover.
The shitty motel room, as they both called it. Can you say shit on
A&E
now? Yeah,
of course you can.
I'm old.
This is five seasons in.
I know.
You didn't see that at the Comic-Con?
I'm still shocked.
So it's an inside joke for us. I'm sorry. Dua was telling me something she saw at the Comic-Cons.
I know they've always said shit, Marissa. I love that Marissa, we've got a screen up here where Marissa, our engineer, keeps saying she said no, hell no, to the Academy for Miss Rihanna. But she stays up to date with the show and is a big Bates Motel fan as well.
Yes. Hi, Marissa. So, listen, so she pulls up to the motel. She checks in. All of that was pretty much, you know, almost, you know, shot for shot, scene for scene. Mm-hmm. Especially the last scene of episode 5 of 505 with her pulling up in the rain. Mm-hmm. We discussed this last week. Was definitely shot for shot. They go in. The whole notion of her going into you know, the lobby there and looking up at the old house, Norman come bounding down the stairs. All that was directly from Psycho.
Yep, directly from.
Almost that the first interaction, the sandwich, all of that was almost directly for Psycho. Yeah. And I liked the way, I thought it was well played and well done. They even gave a little shout out to Norma in the window. They did the Norma in the window, which is hella creepy.
Yeah.
But I liked that the way they played, they sort of subverted our expectations there, because they went so canon, so shot for shot, so almost beat for beat Psycho in the first act, or at least the first half of act of the thing.
A few, until she pulled out her cell phone to text Sam. And then
there's no cell phone in 1960?
No.
Where's Janet Leigh's cell phone?
No, it's funny because the shots were very similar, but the dialogue was not.
Of course. It had to be updated.
And it was, and as soon as she pulled out her cell phone, there was just so many things. But if you think about it, there are also a lot of times before and after in the show where they have had very, very similar Psycho scenes.
Right. Sure. And when you guys saw that, all that stuff sort of happening down the Psycho road, did you guys, I mean, I'll start with you, Julia, did you expect a straightforward, oh, we're going to go right down the middle here, or did you looking for the left turn?
I liked their approach to it, because we've been here for 4.5 seasons, and this narrative, this almost shot for shot of what we all know and love, fits so seamlessly and added a different sense of levity than we're used to from just Psycho as a standalone. So when we see, for example, that shot where we see Norman looking up after first meeting Marion Crane, going towards the house to make the sandwich, and we see Norma in the window, which is a throwback, we also know, as of last episode, we didn't see her at all, and she's been MIA, and all this crazy shit has been going down, and now she's back, and what does that mean for Norman?
Yeah, it was great stuff.
And how that informs what Psycho is to us.
Correct.
Exactly.
He seems aware of it now, though.
Well, they really got into, and I'll let you joke it, what I loved about this is they were able to sort of go deeper, something Psycho was never able to do, except from the last bit of exposition at the end in the cell.
Matricide.
Yeah, exactly. Matricide. They were able to really get into the psychology of... I mean, look, Norma was able to face, you know, what's going on with himself and Norma. Mm-hmm. But he was able to also get into the psychology of why he needs Norma, which you touched on a little bit last week. Mm-hmm. But before that, Norma's showing up. She's showing up. She's got the she's making him dinner. Mm-hmm. She's, you know, being nice to him. She's asking him questions. I mean, all that stuff. And I'll let you handle this, Joe, because brilliant performance by Vera Farmiga on that. But that was also just it was flat out heartbreaking for me to watch Norman try so hard to say you're not real, mm-hmm. and Vera would, and Norma, Mother Norma would not let him alone. And Joe, what do you think of that stuff?
I think the writing and the structuring, they're just so fucking good. The way they set it up, that it took almost the entire episode, and therefore, I mean, and by extrapolation, almost the entire show, almost five seasons, for him to really understand what it was. And of course, in a meta way, she's gonna, in another way of helping him, the creation that he's the other personality he's created is going to help him understand why he created it. And that scene in the kitchen where they're getting closer and closer to each other, I almost expected some goofy like zap zap merge, like Freaky Friday. But,
that would have been classy. Zap, you know what I mean? Zap Freaky Friday merge.
Zap. I'm like, oh.
Whoa.
But it was so brilliantly done. And her getting in his grill and explaining to him, like, remember how bad Dad was? Remember why you created me? You know. And all these things I've been feeling for you, you need to feel, doesn't want to feel them, still doesn't feel them. I mean, at this point, he's still resistant to that. But it was so interesting the way they structured it, that he's aware that he's BF crazy. And, right. And like that line about, I'm mad, but there are plenty of, you know, functioning madmen all over the world, you know, and they get through their day, and I can get through mine. And
even heads of state. Did you guys hear that throwaway line?
What, even heads of state?
Even heads of state.
Kind of like a shout out to
so good.
Maybe someone, an orange person we know.
Yeah, I don't know. That was hilarious. It was just in there.
Yeah, it was in there, and that's also they also threw that. I actually love a couple clever little shout outs they did with the whole line about being mad. I'm a little mad, not in the American sense, but in the British sense, like the Mad Hatter.
Yeah. Yeah.
That says Freddie in his American accent.
Yep.
Says the Brit in his American accent. You know, like the Brits do. And also a shout out to, you know, obviously that's a line from Psycho. We all get a little mad sometimes, and he's mad, and that was really, so I thought that was really clever. A lot of really clever things in there. I loved all that stuff. So yes, so we got a little of that, and we'd be remiss if we didn't just jump back a little bit to the fact that, back to, you know, Dilemma, you know, and poor Emma.
They did have one little scene in there.
Well, yeah,
because,
you know, poor Emma's, like, looking, you know, still looking and reading and crying away, and she had to tell poor Dylan the truth, and I thought that was also a well-acted scene by Max Theriot.
We've been pronouncing it wrong for
Max
4.5 years.
Theriot. Well, I can see.
I'm gonna say the riot, because damn it, that's how it's said. That's how it's spelled.
It's not the riot. It's
the riot.
Max the riot. No, but Max Theriot.
I'll take the rapist for 500, please.
So, did any one of you actually think that she was gonna keep that information from him? I know that in the previews it showed the phone call with Dylan and Norman.
Right.
But I thought for a second. I mean, she had just come off this argument with him in the last episode about the fact that her, you know, this, he's been keeping a secret about her mother for like 19 months.
They're the real deal.
So the fact that she went up to him and said, your mom is dead,
yeah,
you know, and
yeah. I think they love each other. I think she loves him. I think they're the real deal. It's a bump in the road. I knew that. Excuse me. Oh my God.
Are you okay?
I'm not dying. Okay.
Okay.
I knew that. I was in this cookie over here. I knew it's a bump in the road. Look, he told him to take a walk, to cool down. Cooler heads prevailed.
He got bagels. Now,
he got bagels. He came back. A little, such a puppy dog, too.
Yeah.
I got bagels.
Yeah. Good, and, good move, guy. Good
it was,
move.
It was really, really sad to him to have to get that news, and knowing all we know about his very confused feelings about Norma, his very complicated relationship about, with Norma. Mm-hmm. Here's the bad news for good old Dylan. He doesn't even know that his pop's dead either.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
No,
that's right.
I thought about that.
Mm-hmm. You make you sad now.
Yeah.
God, poor kid.
But when they had their phone call together, he actually brought up, you know, I talked to you before I left, and I said that you and I could keep in touch. And he's like, you didn't say anything.
Yeah.
So do you guys think that Dylan suspects that Norman?
Of course.
You think so?
Of course.
Totally.
Yeah. Like, Dylan's all over Norman. Like, Dylan was attacked by Norman. Dylan knows that Norman killed the dad. Dylan, he left because something was weird. He knows weird shit's going on. He's want to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. And he's like, this is my family. I can either turn them in or do something where I can get out of here. He chose to get out. Now people are turning up dead. Like, you know, Miss Watson.
But he always thought Norma was safe with Norman. This, I think, takes a total shock. Saying. This takes things to a new level.
Yeah.
Yeah, and good old Norman didn't exactly, you know, evoke a lot of confidence in that phone call. Like, well, she just died. You know, like, so clearly, Dilemma are going to make another trip back to White Pine Bay, I imagine, right?
Yeah, I agree. But I think that what was interesting about that phone call and the placement of that phone call, because you have this kind of subplot with Dylan and Emma, but, you know, last episode was all about Norman kind of coming to terms with the reality of what is, you know, his dreams are dying, the reality of actually what is real. Now, having his mother reappear in this episode, even for a brief moment, and he's like, you're not real. And I think her line to him is, if I'm not real, then why am I here?
Yeah.
You know, so he's doing this tussle. And so Dylan's phone call to Norman, I think, just reinforces for Norman to have to explain to Dylan, she committed suicide, she tried to kill me too. It just reinforces if Norma, the mother Norma, is trying to pull him back into this delusion, and then you've got Dylan here being like, whoa, and so he's got to come, like, it's this war that he's got with him. And
but not only that, it was clear that he, you know, he mentions to mother Norma that he didn't know if the Dylan phone call was real. Like, everything was happening in a way that, like,
I
don't even know if Dylan's real. I don't know what's real anymore. I have no idea what the hell is going on. But I do know that I'm crazy. I'm mad. Like, the British sense. Like, in the British sense of the word. CCF Freak here online mentioned that Emma's the best detective. And I forgot what a good detective Emma
the caper,
is. Remember the capers and the flashlights and the Scooby-Doo?
Yep.
So, like, yeah.
She's a little oxygen tank in tow.
And Emma's back on the case. It's good to have Emma back on the case. She's going to crack this thing wide open once and for all. It may be her, actually, that cracks this whole thing wide open after all this time.
Perhaps.
Because in the old days...
Matricide.
In the old days, it was Sam Loomis and Marion Crane's sister. Mm-hmm. So now we know that Marion Crane is scot-free. It's not going to be her sister. Now we know Sam Loomis is dead. It's not going to be Sam Loomis.
Yeah.
It could be the wife. But I think it's going to be Dylan and
that, I think they're setting it up for that. I mean, because Marion... Madeline, I think that she's going to be too distraught when her husband's missing. And I think, I don't think that she's going to be in for it. But I think that every single time I think of Emma and Dilemma going back there, I think of Sodom and Gomorrah and the Pillars of Salt that Joe talks about. And it's like, don't turn back. It's not going to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I've noticed too, Julie, I know you got to go soon, but I just want to just get your thoughts on this, is that, you know, it seems that, you know, obviously we know that Norman's homicidal rages are triggered by whatever, some sort of deep sexual arousal and denial of that. And he, you know, obviously you start with Miss Watson and was it Blair?
Bradley.
But it seems most of the time his aggression is, his instinct is to save these women. His instinct is to save the women, and then he ends up sort of killing the men. I don't know the exact total here. I haven't done the homework, believe it or not. But it feels like he's killed more men than women. This Norman is not actually... It feels like he's more sympathetic towards the women. Because I have to say, I was very, very, very happy for a lot of reasons that we, A, still got to see Rihanna naked. Mm-hmm. But thank you. Thank you, Carlton and Carrie. A, got to see Rihanna naked, but B, did not get to see her die in the shower in the same way. I love that, because I don't know if I could see another, you know, woman being, you know, stabbed to death in real time. I'm not really a big fan of that, believe it or not.
Yeah.
But I guess my larger point is he an equal opportunity homicidal maniac? Is he leaning more towards the men than the women? I mean, what's been the count? I mean, Julia, do you have any thoughts on that?
I really could not tell you the count. I will say just real fast as to the stabbing scene, man, woman, I don't care. That was really disturbing for me for some reason. That was really graphic. I'm terrified of being stabbed. I don't even, you were there when I almost cut my finger off cutting cauliflower, Joe.
Yeah. Like, I was there.
I was not well.
And I was there when you almost stabbed Nando to death multiple times on the following.
What?
When you almost stabbed Nando to death multiple times and back when we did the following.
Oh, stab, Nando. Sorry, bro. Sorry. That scene as a whole, I don't care who it was. It was so well shot and it was so graphic that I was very uncomfortable. I don't even remember what your question was. I
it's
just all right.
It's had to
so
do it.
Joe, maybe you
can feel it. What do you think, Dua? It was more to do about Norman's proclivity to killing women towards men or men towards women.
First of all, this is the first time that Norman's killed anybody. Let's make that very, very clear.
Yes.
This is the first time.
Yes, this is Norman's first kill.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, mother, what have I done?
Yeah.
Was the line. Normally it's, oh, mother, what have you done?
Yeah.
So... he doesn't remember, and Norma, which I think that they played on a little bit in the trailer for next episode, is that this is going to be the first time that Norman is aware of what is going on, and now both sides of the delusion know. So Norma has killed, I think, more women than men, though, because there was the father. There was the father. Mm-hmm. There was, you know, who's the guy that was just killed just recently?
Yeah, the guy.
There's definitely more women than men. I can't go into all of them right now because Emma's mother, and then there was Blair, there was Bradley, I mean, there are a lot of people, but I think that the fact that this is the first time that Norman has killed somebody is aware of what's going on.
Go ahead, Julia.
She made a very good point when she was breaking everything down, you know, adult to adult, that they are two parts of the same person.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the same person committing murder with two personalities living within it. One person has a tendency to shift, being Norman, shift all the blame always to mother because he, quote-unquote, blacks out. But there has to be some motivations for each entity to commit these murders.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's sexual, that comes from Norman, but then mother comes in. If it's a man, it's because of rage towards his father who was abusing his mother. So I think it's a question of abuse. Mother feels like women are abusing her little boy, mm-hmm. and Norman feels that men are abusing women.
Right.
Huh. So do you think that, you know, when Norman kicked Marion Crane, knowing what was going to happen, kicked her out, get out while you can, do you think that now they just needed to kill somebody? They were just all worked up, and they, like, Sam Loomis just happened to be in the wrong place at the wrong time?
I don't know. I think that's a very interesting thought. But that's a very interesting thought of the idea of, like, you know, Norman is a homicidal maniac, and and he's going to, he does have an urge to kill, whether it's come from Norma or himself or someone else.
Mm-hmm.
He clearly did not want to kill the innocent, you know, Brianna, but he did want to exact revenge on someone. So that is an interesting thought.
Yeah.
But I want to go back go ahead, Joe. Go ahead.
Can I toss out an idea?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't think the psychosis needs to be that much different from the original. I mean, if it's lust-based, right, if it's, you know, Norman's been acting out in gay bars. He's had a gay lover now that he's aware of.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's straight lover in his mind. Something for Sam.
Yeah.
Well,
it's possible that he felt some attraction to Sam to go along with his sympathetic feelings toward both the girls that Sam was messing with.
Yeah, but to be clear, that wasn't an interesting thought, but I have to disagree because that was never Norman as Norman being gay. It was always Norma as a straight woman with a man. So
she even said it this episode. She's like, I went out and I got laid.
Yeah, what's
like,
the big deal?
What's the big deal? Yeah. I don't want you to not know about it. But does this mean, with the whole conversation, because now that I'm thinking about this and we're really getting into this, it's busting it wide open. Does this mean that now he's not going to black out anymore? That he's kind of come to terms with his psychosis and understands what's going on?
That's exactly what it means to me. And I want to get to that in a second. Let me get through some of this exposition first, because before we dive into all the theoreticals and philosophicals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so Rihanna gets in there. I'm sorry, Marion Crane. She gets in. She has the money. She's trying to, you know, understanding. you're trying to get a hold of Sam. Mm-hmm. Sam's doing his thing, like, "Hey, baby, I'm tied up at work."
He's the worst. He is the worst player.
He's got the worst game
in the bathroom while his wife is like, "Are you fucking kidding me?"
Yeah, exactly. Sorry. So yeah, that was no good. So anyway, all that was going down, and who was that? That's the part that I thought was a little ham-handed in terms of the execution and also in reality. I mean, whatever. I mean, they're just all bad at it. Like, the whole, "What's going on in there, honey? Wait, who's that, Sam?" Nobody. That was the cat. I gotta go. Click. Like, all that stuff. It's ridiculous. But anyway, so they get caught. Norman then confesses and spills the beans and says, "Look, I hate to tell you this, but your boy is has a wife. I know her. Here's the address. Go check it out." Rihanna goes in there, gets a very cool woman empowerment moment, smashes the waiting to exhale. Mm-hmm. Exhale.
Yeah, very waiting to exhale.
Smashes the. Yes, Joe.
Can we talk briefly about Rihanna effing up that car?
Yeah.
It looked like so much fun.
She fucked that car up.
I know.
And that was. You know what? I don't know. I'm wondering if Rihanna hasn't done something to a car before. That she looked like she knew what she was doing.
I wonder how many takes they had.
Yeah, that was good.
That was impressive.
That was impressive.
You know, sometimes people hit a car on TV or in the movies, and they overwork the crying. They kind of half-ass it, or they hit something and they. No, she messed that car up.
I thought Rihanna was good in this episode. I think she was good. I think most of the things she did. I get it that it's Rihanna. It's hard. It takes you out of the entire thing because you're watching Rihanna the whole time.
Yeah.
But I think that was good. And I don't know that she's as a multi-bajillionaire. I don't know how many cars she's effed up, but maybe who knows? But she's that was great, and that was great to see, and that was fun to watch. And then she gets to go back, have that conversation with Norman. But before that, we did get to sort of the tease, the psycho tease with her in the shower. The shower curtains were the exact same, the little things that hold the shower curtain together, the shower rod.
A little bit of soap in her eye. Oh, wait, I can't see.
A lot of the same angles, at the same angle from above where she's washing her, all that stuff was shot for shot psycho. The water coming into the camera.
Yep.
All that stuff was good stuff. And but I liked the way they subverted it when they showed them. I was like, F this. I'm going after them. No, that was kind of cool. It's a weird sort of woman empowerment moment there. Mm-hmm. Although Norman still... got the good for Norman. He still got to do his horrible voyeuristic. What do you call it? Smacking the Jackie. What's your thing?
What's your euphemism? High ho to the old ham hog.
Yeah, high ho. He still got to give the high ho to the old ham hog. You know.
What do you call it? Smacking the Jackie.
I don't know. You had some crazy euphemism for that thing that Joseph Flippo does.
Like, what do you call it? I don't know
what the kids call it these days. So Norman still got to do all that business. We got all that, but then Rihanna goes to that. She comes back to have the very poignant moment, and as we talked about, Norman's like, "Get out. You got to get out of here." Like, I don't want to. He knows something bad's going to happen.
Yep.
He's feeling all these funny thoughts. Mm-hmm. He's hugging her. Again, spectacular acting by Freddie Highmore. Like, his level of just internal conflict, is amazing. Like, seeing him, watching him hug Rihanna and the look on his face and the tears in his eyes and the back and forth and all that stuff was fantastic.
It's really hard to be in a scene with him and not look like you're a subpar actor. You know, like, not even given somebody that has no acting experience. So this was a huge thing for her. And I think that she did a great job despite the... under the circumstances.
And she left. She left. She got in the Miata, took the 400 Gs, and boned out.
Yep.
Threw the cell phone out and jetted out. And she made it out. I was very happy. Like, look, in Psycho, the $40,000 remained in the room. Mm-hmm. You know, Miriam Cramer was going to give back the $40,000. Rihanna's like, F that, I'm gone.
Yeah. It ended up in the trunk in the marsh.
Yeah,
because
that's right.
Because he put it all in.
I liked all that. So what did you guys, before you go, Julia, what did you think of all that? What did you think of the Rihanna, like the twist on Marion Crane's exit as opposed to her demise?
I was so excited by it. Like, they definitely flipped the script in that sense. And watching Norman give her advice through his panic of what's about to happen if she doesn't leave, giving her step-by-step instructions. Because, she said earlier, I've always played by the rules. Where has it gotten me? And he's like, okay, you got to go. This is how you do it. This is what you do. This is where you ditch your car. This is where you buy a new car. Cash for everything. Go, 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 go.
Right.
And, I mean, if I were her, I would have been a little bit more scared by someone acting that manic. But she's also terribly depressed and looking for an out, an excuse to leave, and he gave it to her.
Yeah.
He didn't give her a choice.
Joe, what did you think of that stuff?
Oh, just the whole time. Get out, girl, go! Yeah.
Did you think she? Who thought she was coming back? Did you think she was coming back?
I did. Oh, 100%.
Well, you know what? I actually need this bra. I forgot. I do need these clothes.
Dude.
Well, when she was like, I think I'm going to leave.
Leave the drawers and run.
I know. When she was like, I'm going to leave all of the clothes. First of all, it's the middle of the night, mind you, because when she first got there, it was the middle of the night. There wasn't even a place to get something to eat around.
Right.
Then she took a shower, went over to Sam Loomis's house, messed up his car, came back, did all of it. So it's got to be like 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Right. And then and now
you're
she's
thinking
like.
You're thinking in LA terms. This is a small little town. It didn't take her 40 minutes to get to Loomis's house. It was probably a 5-minute drive.
Right. And that town rolls up at 11:30.
She jacked that car up in real time. We saw that. That didn't take but 2-3 minutes.
All right.
F you, Sam, back in the car, 4 minutes back to the hotel, maybe five.
That's right.
No problem. Got to get out of L.A. It's a different animal.
That's
I agree.
Touche.
He also said all the restaurants are closed, which means it's probably like 8:30.
Yeah, 8:30 in that town. The town rolls up at 8:30. It rolls up. I agree. All that was great stuff, and I really love the way they did that, and I like the way Norman got it. I'm happy that one got away, because very few people get away when Norman pleads to get them get away. I want to talk about now, this transition into the whole Norman-Norma kitchen scene, the reaction to the kitchen scene, because that was heartbreaking to me, just to see that Norman have this struggle, and as you said, Julia, the adult-to-adult conversation they had, and Vera... slash mother really like demanding to be heard. And when you think about like I'm real having the temper tantrum, throwing out all the throwing around the kitchen, doing all this stuff, I'm real, say I'm real, and Norman giving in, okay, you're real, just stop it, mother. The idea that he's having that conversation to himself by himself is just insane and heartbreaking.
Do you think he would have felt that same way if they didn't do that final shot with him just in the kitchen, that torn up kitchen alone? Do you think you would have felt the same way?
I did, because the whole time I'm watching this, I'm very aware that the whole time he's saying, you're not real, you're not real, you're in my mind, you're in my mind, you're not real. Oh, I'm not real? How about this? Is this real? I'm thinking like, wow, this is him doing this poor kid. And then, of course, the reveal at the end where he's just by himself. Mother. I mean, Julia, are you still there?
So depressing. Yeah, I'm still here. That was so depressing.
Yeah, I mean, what did you think of that? That was heartbreaking.
His showdowns with Norma in this episode, with Mother in this episode, were so like deep and rich and mind-bending and creepy. It's like the journey of his realization of his madness has just been, and what it actually means to him and him settling into his madness,
right,
is just fascinating thing to watch. And to watch their sort of their push and pull of what this madness means for these two entities living within the same person, and all of her different approaches to remain part of his life. You know, everything from the push and pull to the sweet mother to the tantrums. It's just these different desperate approaches to stay, and finally this adult to adult talk of this is what it is and this is how we're going to exist. So get it together, kid.
And Flippo, like that adult to adult talk when he's like, you know, when she says, look, this is why I exist. And like, this is why I exist. I needed you. That realization of what happened when he was a kid, what happened when he killed the father, you know, and him saying that out loud, this is what happened. And this is without the help of Dr. Edwards. This is just sort of him talking to himself in the kitchen, like coming up with his realization. But this conversation with his mother and then realizing that, like, this is why I did it and this is why I need you. I mean, come on, Flippo. Even your heart of stone had to like that.
Why you got back me in a corner and give me a heart of mean some of a bitch? You know what I love about it? I love the point of view. Well, I love so much about it, but I love the way that Vera, the choices that she makes. So she chooses to believe the entire scene. Well, the entire series, that Mother needs to exist and her existing is correct. And that I love. Because then when you come to a scene like this, she's not approaching it from this, like, you created me on a whim or you created me to do bad things for you. It's you created me out of necessity. I am real. I have to be here to protect you. I have to be here. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, to me, you look at that as an actor, and there are so many choices you could make with that writing, and she chooses to believe that this creation has to be. And so everything she's doing to explain it to him is not an act of maliciousness. It's an act of generosity.
That's right.
And the pretending to be mom, the pretending to be Norma, the pretending to cook, the pretending to be gentle and loving him, that is all a choice that creation is making. Mm-hmm.
There's
I love
also,
it.
There's also some choices.
The layers of it are so great.
There's also some choices that Phil Abraham, who directed this episode, Phil Abraham was a steady hand television director who's done a bunch of TV, every episode of everything.
Oodles of television. Imagine.
Did a great job in this episode, but there's choices that he made and that the show makes as well, because the only indication we have what's really going on is when we see things from Norma's point of view. We really see things from Norma's point of view because Norma is, in fact, not real. But there's one scene here where they went away from Norman when Norman's like, "You're not real," and he walks out of the room, and they lingered on Norma, and Norma had a little smile. That scared the shit out of me. I'm like, what's she gonna do? Why is she looking like that? She's not real.
It's so interesting what she's doing as an actor, what Vera is doing as an actor, because now she's not playing Norma's face. Now she's playing Mother, which is a different character.
Totally exactly. Different character. Yeah.
Exactly.
And
different
it's
character.
Really subtle, and it's really scary to watch, and it's really manipulative. Right. I know you just touched on it a little bit there, Flippo. They kept on bringing up this idea of stop pretending to be her. We both know you're not.
Yep.
And him saying that and her being like, okay, I'll stop pretending to be here. This is what I am.
I'll tell you what I am.
And it's different, and I love it, and I freaked out. And on that note, I have to go, guys. Enjoy the rest of your show.
Thank
bye, Julia.
You so
we
much.
Love you.
Bye.
I love you guys.
Thanks for joining us. I agree 100% with that. That whole thing freaked me out. And I know, Joe, that you love Vera, and I love Vera too. But, man, again, Freddie Highmore, this entire season has really just he's killing the game with the acting. Because that whole sequence, because he's got to do so much. I mean, he's projecting all of this. In, you know, he knows that he is both people having a conversation mm-hmm. with himself, but also having these realizations with himself, and it's all in his face, mm-hmm. and it's all in the tears in his eyes, and the conflict's there, the hurt's there, the confusion is there. There's a lot of complicated emotions here that he has to be portrayed, not only through verbally, through the tremor in his voice and his actions, but also, with his facial expressions. And mm-hmm. and also when he's just Norman trying to be normal to normal people, you know, that Norman's kind
and
of awkward
slightly
and
charming.
And then, it's a lot going on there. It's really complicated. And when he's Mother Norma and he's walking around, he's, sashaying around like Norma. Mm-hmm. A lot of layers there. So I want that was spectacular. I think that what they've done here, and you touched on this, Dua, is now we have a new version of this, because we've always thought, in the Psycho version is Norman is created... has created Mother Norma as this other persona that he dresses up as, and he goes and he does stuff, and he talks to her, and he carries her around, and he talks to her. We have a bit of that. We saw a bit of that this season, obviously, and a little bit of last season. That's how he's getting down. But now we've crossed over into a new threshold where Norman is fully realized that, like, this is a coping mechanism. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm doing. Maybe through the help of Dr. Edwards, this is what I'm doing, and I do this, and you are fake, but we are together. You've always been with me because I need you to be able to deal with these horrible people, these horrible times in my life. And you know what? I'm okay with that, because I'd rather have you with me and have me deal with these things than not. That weird realization almost makes Norman scarier than ever, because now he's Norman and he knows that, like, it's almost like, hey, Mom, what are we going to do? Let's do it. Like, instead of him, the idea of him putting on a wig every second, which I wonder if we'll ever see the wig again. I don't think so.
Well, I don't know. See, there's this interesting, after he got off the phone with Dylan, there is this interesting moment, and when he's sitting on the couch, and Norma calls him in, and she's like, honey, dinner, and then he doesn't want to go, and it was so interesting, because that was his choice right there. He's like, all right, do I go in and say yes to the delusion where I feel more comfortable, I feel protected, but I know it's not actually real, but I'm happier?
Sure.
Or do I stay here in the darkness, not as much fun, with the knowledge that I am crazy and that I'm going to be, which world seems more exciting if you're Norman Bates?
Yeah, I don't know.
Didn't it seem to you guys that he was, like, when she didn't say anything for a second, that he was just sitting there hoping that she was actually gone for a minute?
Yes. And he was,
when she calls him in again, he's like, shit. But I mean, that confrontation was so great. And I really felt like that was his opportunity but it's like so many times you go in an argument where you don't know the whole story Mm-hmm. You know, it happens if you when you have people that work for you. Do I know you? You have a bunch of people that work for you at the restaurant, and Joe, you have at your company. Every now and then, you hear somebody. Here's my side of the story, and if you choose to just take that side of the story and go off half cocked, you're going to have that argument that he just had with Mother, mm-hmm. where right. he believes he knows everything there is to know, and she's like, "You don't know everything there is to know. Let me tell you the actual story." Mm-hmm. And it's so interesting because he goes in, I think, to that kitchen to be rid of her. I'm done.
Yeah.
I know that this food is not real. I'm making myself a sandwich. This is bullshit. You don't exist.
Right.
I'm not gonna deal with you. I'm gonna turn you off. This is my opportunity to do that. This is how I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna do it by not looking at your beautiful roasted vegetables. I'm gonna make my shit sandwich in the corner. This is his opportunity to do that. And then we have that incredible scene where Norma's like, "No, fool, yeah. I am real. Here's why I'm real. Here's what you don't know." And that, to me, I think he went in there for a completely different reason than he left. I think that in the course of that scene, obviously, he went in to be done with her, and, of course, walked out of there to go kill Sam.
Yeah, and what's interesting, too, is that we did have that tease of Mother Norma sort of saying, after Rihanna's, like, ghosted out, saying, like, "Oh, you let her go. You let her go." And I was like, "Oh my God, like, you know, she really wanted to kill her."
Yep.
You know, and it's like, "Yes, Mother, I let her go." But then her talking him into, "Oh, she's back. Actually, it's not him. It's her. It's him."
Yep.
And this guy, he's just like your dad. He's just like this. He's manipulating these poor women. Mm-hmm. What do you do? Mm-hmm. And the directness under which he, like, it was like a weird, I don't know, it was like a weird halftime speech that Norma was giving him. Because he was all, he's sitting there getting pumped up like Tony Robbins. And you know what, he's a bad person, and you're great. He like opened the door, grabbed the knife, went in there and just did it. There's no lurking
you're
around.
Still in this game. Get out there.
We have a second half to play.
And this highly graphic, really, really brutal scene.
Well, let's talk about that for 1 second. So he goes in there, and again, we're back to sort of the cycle recreation. We have a lot of the same mm-hmm. shots, a lot of the same, you know, through the shower.
Ripping down
the shower curtains. But, mm-hmm. but you know, the thing, obviously, which is most famous about the cycle shot is you never actually see a knife, you know, penetrating skin. Never see any penetration. Mm-hmm. You never see anything else. You see it's all just chocolate syrup that's in the drain.
Yeah.
You see it's just the editing and the cutting. And I think that I watched it a couple of times, as horrible as it was to watch, because mm-hmm. I wanted to see from a technical standpoint what they were doing. And they really, if you watch it, it's an extremely well edited scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost shot for shot what they did with Psycho.
Yeah.
A little more, definitely a lot more, you know, stabs and whatever. But mm-hmm. at the end of the day, there was no real penetration, except for the very last shot you saw a knife plunge into him. And uh-huh. even then, I'm not even sure if it was actually plunged into him, the yeah. very last shot. But all of that, like, back and forth, you had sound effects,
mm-hmm.
you had blood splatter, mm-hmm. you had screaming, you had cuts,
yep.
you had a lot of stuff in the ground, you had splatter, but you had no actual stabbing.
Yeah.
And that was, again, a spectacular feat of editing and horror, and this, the way you remember it, like Julia, and I remember you remember it in your mind's eye, same with Psycho, you remember it seeing this bloody, horrible scene, but really, mm-hmm. if you watch it frame by frame, that not much happened. I mean, Joe, did you pick up on that?
Yeah, well, that's in keep. Yeah, like you said, that's in keeping with what Hitchcock did.
Yeah.
But I also think it's good television. I really feel like, you know, there's a lot. It's a lot scarier. Your anticipation is much more. I think is a much more value for, mm-hmm. for your psychology watching something than the actual event. Does that make
yeah.
any sense?
Yeah, like yeah. Perfect.
Well, I felt just as much anticipation when the camera came up on Rihanna in the shower, even though there was nobody there, mm-hmm. as we did when we knew he was going to kill Sam. There was no question.
Yeah.
Right.
There's no question that, you know, once Mother told him what he had to do, and he went, you saw him heading in there, you're like, "No, Sam's gone."
Mm-hmm.
But it's the anticipation, I think, that is so important, and it's shooting to build that anticipation, which is what Hitchcock was effing around with in the first place.
Absolutely.
And so I love that they kept it to that. I think you're 100% right.
It was really cool. I mean, they have that one, you know, so that one bit at the end where you can see sort of like, I look at it again, but maybe something happened there at the end. Where you can
well,
see
you also saw Norman's face. They cut to Norman's face in this,
yes.
which, of course, in the actual Psycho movie, you didn't see Mother Norma's face at all.
It
was just
the
silhouette
the maniacal
and the
grin.
Knife.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
And the wig. You
yeah.
saw the wig, which you thought it was the woman. But this, you saw his face, blood splattered. And I think that you're right, Joe. The anticipation of of what you think. It's like makes it seem a lot more brutal if you have, you know, blood splattering everywhere but actually don't see a penetrated knife. It can be almost as gruesome as if you, you know, saw somebody actually stabbing somebody else.
Yeah, which
one? Well, I think that's part of what Hitchcock was messing with, you know, however many years ago. And I, to me as a viewer, I can't stand, like, zombie movies, I can't stand, right? And right. That's, you know, millions of people dead, zombified, covered in gore and shit. I hate it. And to
zombified.
But something like this, where one person might die, and it's going to be like the lead up to that one person die, I am so much more engaged in that. There's mm-hmm. like one event, and it's going to be this huge event. And it's just that, all that is, not all that is, but that's what's so interesting about it, is that's the art of filmmaking. That's the art of making you as an audience member mm-hmm. so hyper aware of this thing that's going on that we don't have to kill 50 people. We can kill one person and keep you just as tied in, which I love that. That's the idea.
I love it too. So one comment I want to make, and we can talk about some of these loose ends and what's going to happen, because there's a lot of stuff that these last four episodes are going to be spectacular, because we got mm-hmm. Romero out there who's looking for Norma. We got, you know, Dylan and Emma who are like now on the move. Chick is still floating around out there.
Oh,
like,
Chick's still floating around there. Two episodes, and I totally forgot about Chick.
Writing a book, you know.
Yep.
You got Madeline's out there, like whose husband, his body has to be disposed of. You got the sheriff who's mm-hmm. hot on the trail. Don't forget about the sheriff.
Huh.
But what I want to say that, like, what's interesting about all this is, you know, back to what, you know, Carlton Cuse and Carrie Aaron have done with this series. Is that you forget, like, watching this series and watching each of these last three or four episodes
mm-hmm.
And how engaging this is and how and where we are, you forget what a great job they've done on season four and three and two and one. Mm-hmm. This is five seasons in the making. Mm-hmm. This is 40-plus episodes in the making. It's 45 episodes in the making. Mm-hmm. Talk about earning a moment.
Yep.
I mean, this is 45 episodes in the making. That doesn't really feel like 45 episodes. I don't feel like, ugh, get on with it already. When are we going to get to the shower scene? When are we going to find out? No, this is every step of the way, every episode of every season mm-hmm. was incredibly engaging, incredibly interesting. All the White Pine Bay intrigue, all the Norman becoming Norman, all the Norma stuff, leading all the way up to where we are right now. It is a spectacular achievement. The show is amazing.
They do it so well. And I'm still stuck on Chick. I'm still stuck on Chick because now with what's happened these past two episodes, how is Norman going to react to Chick when he will now know Mother wasn't there?
Well,
guys were talking and having those episodes, like, is he going to be mad at Chick for playing along? How is Chick going to wiggle out of that?
I've got a lot of open questions.
Good question.
So let's just jump to
predictions. What the fuck, Chick?
Let's just jump to predictions here. Let's jump to predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
So last week, Flippo and I played a game called Who's Gonna Live, Who's Gonna Die.
Live or Die.
We forgot Chick. Yeah. we did everybody but Chick, I think, in that
and
one.
And you didn't do Norman.
And we didn't do Norman. Oh, very good. So I'll ask you, do you think Chick's gonna live or die?
I think Chick is gonna live and write his book.
Okay.
I think Norman is gonna die.
The book's called Psycho.
Yeah. Norman is gonna die.
You think Norman's gonna die?
Norman is gonna die, yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah. Well, because you have to think about it, they're doing it not the way that they're doing the original,
right.
Like Marion Crane. Marion Crane didn't get killed, but they had to kill somebody to kind of scratch that itch that we all had as an audience, right? So they did Sam Loomis. I think that Norman's gonna die. I think he kind of has to.
Well, they kinda already did that, you know, in season three, they did that weird ending with Norman in the psych ward, which is very reminiscent of the end of Psycho.
Yes,
creepy and scary. I mean, mm-hmm. It's hard to say they'll do that again.
Hold on,
I mean,
I've got the old predict-a-pen here. Let me see.
Predict-a-pen.
Oh, okay, does Norman die? And this says not for $1 million.
See?
So I guess Norman doesn't die.
I did a predict-a-pen. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. And right. I did also ask the predict-a-pen if Norman's going to be really, really pissed off at Chick, and it said no-brainer.
Oh.
No brainer.
You know, the predict-a-pin is the most reliable.
Yeah.
Set your watch to the old predict-a-pin.
Yeah.
For those on YouTube, she has this pin. It's kind of like a magic 8-ball. You press a button and, you know.
Predict-a-pen.
So if you're listening on iTunes. Okay, so I got some questions, though. So Joe, what's going to happen with, we have a lot of loose ends here. So what's going to happen with Romero? Romero's coming for Norman.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Will Romero survive, and I'll say it again, but will Romero link up with the sheriff and then they sort of have to convince each other that Norman's dad? Mm-hmm. Will Romero link up with Dylan and Emma? Will Romero link up with Chick? or will Romero just go straight for Norman? What is going to happen there, Flippo?
Well, I wish you'd just written all that down so I could just do it in the announcer voice.
All right.
Will Romero hook up with Chip? Will the Sheriffs link up? Tune in next week.
Right.
Well, he's on the run.
I love the show. That's why I don't know anything. I like being surprised. But I said last week I think Romero has to die, and I still think Romero has to die. I think there's no...
Yeah.
This is his suicide mission.
He's
going to
go skeptic, if nothing else.
Romero is going to get into that cellar and see... He's going to see Norma.
Oh.
He's going to see Norma preserved in a cellar, and he's going to lose his shit.
Oh, that's a good one. Does Romero see Norma in the cellar?
Yeah.
Oh, that's brutal.
Come on, Predictive Pen.
Come on,
anyway,
Predictive
Pen. No, but that's going to happen. That's Nestor Carbonell's Oscar.
It keeps saying no. That's why I keep...
It's all right. That's his Emmy moment. That's crazy.
But he's had two episodes to recover, by the way. He hasn't been in two episodes.
Yeah, so he's going to come back jogging in the White Pine Bay.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
and then
he's riding the white horse. He's got this.
What may I ask you, what's going to become of Madeline?
You know, I don't know.
Will Norman and Madeline just be happy, live happily ever after as a couple?
No. No.
Hey, they're both free.
No. Norman can't ever be close to a woman, but I don't think that her story is going to be a long story. I think it's going to be really short. Like, she's going to look for her husband and then find out some, I don't know. Like, it would be interesting if Madeline and Marion kind of got together to kind of, but I honestly don't know. I don't think that they're heading in that direction.
What about Dylan? I mean, Tabitha Roadhouse here online says that what if Norman kills Dylan and Emma ends up with the baby? What's going to happen to this Dylan? Because there's confrontations coming.
Yeah.
We've got
four episodes left, and I think people are going to be dying.
People are going to be dying because there's a Dylan-Norman confrontation.
Yep.
Dylan has to find out about Caleb. Yep. He's not going to be happy about that. Mm-hmm. Not going to be happy with Norman on that one.
Yeah.
There is a big Emma-Norman confrontation. Oh, but, like, I mean, look, think of these two people. Hey, Norman, where's my dad? Oh, I killed him. What? Or a chick killed him. Hey, Norman, I'm Emma, where's my mom? Oh, killed her. What? Like, that couple
You're
is not...
You're turning this into an 80s sitcom.
Those two aren't going to be very happy. You know, and then Romero, where's my wife? In the cellar. What? In the cellar? So, like, he's got a lot to answer for.
I know.
Good old Madeline. Hey, where's my husband? Oh, dead in the shower. What?
Yeah.
I mean, this could end up like a Julius Caesar moment, like with all of them stabbing Norman, you know, exacting revenge, and Norman just sitting there. I don't know.
Maybe he'll go to Chick for help. Maybe he'll be like, I can't stay here anymore. I need to go to the trailer for help.
Yeah.
Who knows? Chick is the only one on Norman's side. Do you have any predictions, Flippo?
Any solid
I don't, man. I really don't.
Wow.
I'm just excited to see what happens next week.
Well, me too. This is a fantastic show. We have 4 hours left of Bates Motel ever. One of the best shows ever, I should say. It's
no brainer. That's the best show.
It's a no brainer.
It's a no brainer.
I don't know, folks. I'll check with here. Maybe Romero ends up with Madeline. Says Linda Nelson. I want Madeline to see what Norman is. I do too. Psycho 2. There was a whole Psycho 2. Did you see Psycho 2?
It was awful. It was like 30 years later after... What? 1983, he gets out of the mental institution. It was 2 hours of my life wasted.
I liked it.
Did you?
I liked it. I liked the idea of like, he's normal, he's thinking he's normal. It seems like that Psycho 2 informed a lot of what Freddie Highmore is doing because Anthony Perkins in Psycho 2 did a lot of like, I'm not crazy, yeah. I'm not crazy, this is not real, what's happening to me, that torture, like all of that torture.
I can see that.
You know, I think Anthony Hopkins did it. I thought it was very great.
The ending was just so cheesy, though. It was just
cheesy. Drove him back over the edge.
Oh.
Poor Norman. Spoiler alert. And then they had Psycho 3 and Psycho 4, which were terrible. But Psycho 2, actually a pretty good psychological thriller if you want to check it out. Those of you who haven't seen Psycho 2, Linda Nelson, if you know what I'm talking about, Linda Nelson out there. But anyway, a lot of predictions out here. I think that's it for us. We got to get out of here. Thank you so much for joining us here on the live chat. All of you watching, there's a bunch of you in here. We really appreciate you guys listening and checking us out and watching us real time live. And all of you who watch us on YouTube, we appreciate it. And folks listening on YouTube, on iTunes, thank you for that. You can rate us and check us out there. Joseph, San Salvatore, San Filippo, where can the people find you?
Is your middle name Salvatore?
It is Salvatore. There's a lot of Dago on this side of the on this side of the line.
Giuseppe Salvatore.
Salvatore Filippo.
I'm telling you, man. I'm about four chest hairs away from being a total caricature.
Four.
You can find me on the Twitter at Joe Filippo. JoeFlipo.
And you do it, Casey.
Me do a Casey at do a Casey DuaKaiSSI on the Twitters. What's up with that? What, you dancing around Bowie?
David Bowie.
You can find David. No, that's it. That's all I got to say.
You can find me, Joe Braswell, on Twitter and Instagram at Joe K. Braswell, Snapchat, Jade Brads. Four shows left,
I
guys.
I thought that Snapchat was only for like sending naked pictures. Do they do different things now?
I don't. You can buy Snapchat and find out. Just kidding. At the Comic Cons. thank you very much for joining us, guys, on iTunes and Twitter and Instagram and all that good stuff. Thank you. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.